Please forgive me. I'm just recovering from my loss of voice since Monday morning. And I will need your help to read certain portion of the scripture so that I can breathe later. All right? So we are in the series regarding servicing, you know, giving out service. What is the meaning of service? And we have talked about the foundation of all services, which is founded in love. We talk about the posture of a servant, a God-pleasing offering, how to give out a God-pleasing offering in terms of our financial and in terms of what we can offer up to God. And we also talk about the posture of a servant, humility, how we are called to be a servant that is full of humility. And as we look into the model of service, Jesus, our servant king, we are to model after him. And the power for service is the Holy Spirit that is founded in each and every one of us. Everyone who are called to be a Christian, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And that is where the source of our power comes from, the Holy Spirit himself. And the cost of service is what we are going to cover today. And we are called to be faithful in our suffering, to serve one another. And the next sermon in June 14, we will talk about the endurance for service, that we are called to run with perseverance. And also we have Brother AJ and Reverend Andrew Ng who talk about unity in the church community and also gifted to serve on that respective dates. That helps us and that brings us through our sermon this morning. So if you remember our sermon, the last sermon talks about, the model for service. All right, we talk about, you know, the spiritual gift, how we can find out our spiritual gifts. All right, so some of you, you may have taken the paper, you have, may have done this test. All right, so no right answer, no wrong answer. This is individual, and this is what I found after 13 years, or rather 23 years. Okay, I did my first survey back in 2003, and I did it again after our sermon that day. So this is about 23 years later. And I do notice there are certain changes, all right? It is generally similar. So according to that test, I'm gifted in administration knowledge, discernment, leadership, faith, giving, teaching, and wisdom. And all this is taken when I have scored 15 and above, all right? And then as you look at the score, or rather the chart, you notice that I may not be as gifted in some of the areas, for example, in the mercy, in service, in faith, all right? So these are some of the things that I can realize. And I do notice that there was additional administration and also leadership gifts that the Holy Spirit has given me, partly because I believe God has given me this leadership role in this church. So as we serve in the different capacity, the Holy Spirit will give us the capacity to serve to the best of our ability. All right, so find out about your spiritual gift and see how you can serve the church that God has brought you into. All right, so Reverend Andrew Ng has called, talked about all these different areas of service where we are called, some of us, we are called to teach, all right, to educate God's people. And some of us goes to seminary to be equipped to communicate God's word. And we demonstrate God's love in our daily service towards one another, as we serve one another, as we bring upon our hospitality, as we give. And as we celebrate God's presence, we have the worship team who are gifted in their singing, in their music, in their craft, and all this, right? And we do have the support team that supports all purposes in terms of the leadership, the administration, and the faith. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, how are you fulfilling God's purpose in this capacity, KLBC, this capacity, through the spiritual gifts that you have identified? As God equip you, as God give you the gift, he is expecting us not to hide it, but you to use it to edify the church, to build up the church, and to bring glory to his name. So are you doing your best, fulfilling God's purposes right here in this church? We are going to look into the cost of service, the faithfulness in suffering. If you have your Bible with you, may I encourage you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, and put your hands there. We are going to look through 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 4. And can you read for me, please? 1, 2, 3, go. Yeah, I believe all of us, we have left school for many, many years, that we have lost the ability to read together. So let's do this again. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 4. 1, 2, 3, go. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Good, a lot better. 2 Corinthians 4, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3, go. We are going to look at three different portions of the scripture this morning. So the first one is, if you have a finger with you, right there, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Let me give you the context of it. Right there, this is an invitation to suffer. To suffer. This is what Paul has written to Timothy, his so-called son. All right, they have a really intimate relationship, like a father and a son. And this is how Paul started this portion of the scripture. He says that you then, Timothy, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. And the portion of the scripture that we are taking today, 3 and 4. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier that gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. And similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. And the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insights into all this. So let me break this down very quickly into this portion. Paul is asking Timothy to be strong in the Lord. To be strong in the Lord. The source of strength is God's grace that is found in verse 1. And he gave four different pictures. Paul gave Timothy four different pictures of how we are called to be strong as a soldier, as a teacher, as an athlete, and as a hardworking farmer. And as a conclusion of all this, he is asking Timothy to think over these things because the Lord will give you insight into all this. So let's look at this one more time. Be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus. So as we serve God, as we continue on with our service in the church, we are called to be strong in the grace that is founded in Christ Jesus alone. And the first part is that he is called to teach, to pass on whatever that Paul has taught Timothy to reliable people who will be also qualified to teach others. Meaning to say, in our service, there should be a certain continuity. As we serve, we are training the next generation to serve alongside. And as they serve, they are training the next generation to serve alongside. And we are called to be a good soldier of Christ Jesus so that we are not called only to be entangled in civilian affairs. I will talk about that in a while. But we are trying to please our commanding officer, which is Christ Jesus himself. And anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. So as we serve God, as we be part of the church, there are certain rules that as men here, we are called to serve in love. We are called to serve in patience. We are called to be united. All these are called so-called the rules. So we need to serve God according to the certain rules that is founded in the scripture. And the last part is the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Meaning to say, some of us, we may end up in heaven getting no reward because we did not serve. If this reward does not mean you know, salvation and all this. But the scripture does say that there are certain rewards as to how faithful you are, how you have been blessing the people around you, and this hardworking farmer, you are going to receive a share of the crops when we meet Jesus Christ again. All right, so basically this is the theme of it all. Be strong in the Lord, that is founded in the grace that God has given through Jesus Christ. And we have four different pictures here: the strong teacher, the strong steward, the strong soldier of Christ, a strong athlete, and a hardworking farmer. And God has called us, or rather Paul has reminded us, to think over these things, because this is good and this is how we should serve one another. There is going to be suffering. There is going to be hardship as we serve the Lord. So he is asking us to be prepared and be strong in the Lord. Now, coming back to this portion, there is this danger of being entangled in worldly affairs. In worldly affairs. Now, we have so many different examples of worldly affairs, but let me bring to your attention to one. All right, I may call this distraction. How many of you are aware of this? Unidentified flying objects, unidentified anomalous phenomenon. How many of you actually read of this? It was released by the U.S. Department of War on May 8th and May 22nd, respectively. There are many photos. There are many photos like this, as shown here. And we can get distracted in terms of trying to justify. Some of us, we may be very good in trying to justify. Let's say, what if, you know, what if people really found so-called aliens? So the first things, or rather, some of us, we may jump to our feet and try to find in the scripture, how do we correlate with that? How do we reconcile if there is truly an alien that is founded? So maybe some of us, we already found, you know, try to find in the scripture, and perhaps these are the verses that seems to hint, right, there's this alien presence in the scripture. All right, let me bring to you a very poorly done scriptural reference that may hint, all right, there's this UFO or UAP present and mentioned in the scripture. So some of them in the world, somewhere the Christian may say, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 40, these heavenly bodies here means, you know, aliens. We are the earthly bodies. Or they may see, you know, these are some of the photos that was released by the U.S. Department of War. Brothers and sisters, this is one of the photos. Apparently, it was captured back in 1950s. And if today, as you see this photo, you will know that this is poorly generated. Even AI can do a better job than this. And the other words that people may think that, you know, the scripture says something about aliens is found in John chapter 10, verse 16. This is what Jesus said. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. That is not of this world. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and they shall be one flock and also one shepherd. So brothers and sisters, it is very dangerous if we are caught off and caught entangled in all these worldly affairs. We are going to sidetrack from what is truly important. All right, and of course, these are some of the ridiculous example that I can go. Talking about worldly affairs. But for some of us, the worldly affairs are something simple. Our schedule. Our schedule that seems so full every day of our life that we barely have time to have devotion, to learn about God's word, and to listen to God properly. So all these are distractions. Brothers and sisters, we are invited to serve. It is really clear in the scripture that Paul is asking Timothy, asking you and me to join Paul in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let us not be entangled in civilian affairs, and we are trying to please our commanding officer, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So for those who are not serving still, The scripture today is inviting us to serve one another and serve God. Now, the second part of the portion of the sermon today, I'm going to talk about the story of Martha, because I believe this is where most of us are. This is where most of us are. If you have your Bible with you, let's turn to Luke chapter 10, verses 38, verse 42. 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be done, had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister had left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, as we look into this portion of the scripture, the story of Martha, I think we are very familiar with this contrast, right? There is this Martha, and there is this Mary. And when we look into this portion of the scripture, most of us, we may understand, or we may look at Martha as the villain. She is the bad example. Don't serve. Because as we see in the scripture, she seems to be busy, she seems to be distracted, she seems too focused on work, too earthly, too anxious. And on the contrast, Mary seems to be the spiritual hero, because Mary chose to sit quietly at the feet of Jesus. Is that what the scripture is pointing out to us? When I was younger, I realized that, you know, we must not be like Martha. We must be like Mary. Or rather, I must be like Mary, who first and foremost chose Jesus over. She was not rebuked for serving. It was her condition that Jesus was calling to attention. She was breaking under pressure while trying to honor Jesus the best way she knew how. And perhaps some of us, we are like Martha today. We love God. We are trying our best. We are carrying responsibilities no one notices. We keep the house together emotionally, spiritually, financially. And we are exhausted while everybody else seems very peaceful. So sometimes deep down inside, we are wondering, we are doing our best for the Lord, but why are we in this situation? Why are we in a way breaking under pressure? God, are you disappointed in me? Am I doing it right? So some of us, we may be wondering, you know, I want to serve God, I love God, but why is my condition deteriorating as I continue to pour out more to the church, to God, to serve the people, to love the people? Perhaps some of us are like Martha. She was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Now, distracted was a very mild word, right? Because periaspeato, right, it means more than busy, it means more than distracted. It carries the meaning of being dragged away. It carries the meaning of being pulled apart, emotionally overextended, mentally torn in different directions. In Cantonese, we have an idiom that says that, you know, ma fan si, okay? A person that is break apart by five different forces at five different directions. It does not simply mean busy or distracted only. It means you are mentally torn in different directions. So Martha was not just merely working or merely serving. Her condition internally is that she was unraveling. That may sound like some of us today. Some of us, we may be smiling publicly, but silently inside, we are falling apart. We are still attending church. We are still posting Bible verses. We are still helping everybody. We are still cooking, still serving, still functioning. But internally, we are being pulled apart by pressure. Whether it's pressure at work, pressure at the family, Pressure with relationship, we are internally being pulled apart by pressure. Brothers and sisters, this is not right. But somehow, modern Christianity seems to glorify exhaustion. Yes, it's good to serve. Serve until you have no strength. Because that seems to show that you are holy. Brothers and sisters, no. No, your internal condition as you serve God and serve the church is important to God. It is important to God. That is why Jesus was asking Martha compassionately to look into her condition. Jesus was not condemning her. He didn't say, Martha, stop serving. And Martha was not being sinful by serving. And we see from the scripture that Jesus was addressing her condition. Her condition, not attacking her character. And many exhausted Christians, you may think that God is angry at them for being overwhelmed. God is calling you back. He is not angry with you. For most of us, or for some of us who are emotionally pulled apart by pressure, God today is inviting Martha. God is inviting you to rest. And as you see that, Jesus was exposing anxiety-driven distraction very, very gently. He is calling out to Martha, Martha, Martha. And in Hebrew culture, a repetition of a name, it communicated affection, love. It communicated grief and intimacy. And in Cantonese, it's like, zaya zai, loya loy, right? So it communicates affection and intimacy here. Martha, Martha. So Jesus was exposing her condition gently because Jesus saw a woman drowning internally while trying to do everything right. Jesus knows your condition. Jesus knows my condition. And perhaps I've been overworking, so Jesus, or rather God, has allowed me to rest my voice since Monday. We attended the youth retreat at Malacca, and as I entered the office, I lost my voice, even before the camp start. And I regained my voice last night. So I rested, in a way, for a whole week. And it is frustrating, especially when you have 3 children and you can't, in a way, yell at them. Jesus sees our condition. We pray while we are multitasking. We worship while we feel emotionally numb. We serve still while secretly exhausted. And we choose to help everybody while nobody asks, how are you doing? Now, brothers and sisters, if we are at the point or at the brink of falling apart, there is always this danger of activity, doing, serving, moving before intimacy with God. So if we are in that condition today, intimacy with God must always come before activity. How do we start off the day? How do we close the day? How do we take a break in between the day? Intimacy with God must always come before activity. Because if we are not careful, our service to God can be separated from closeness with God. We can keep giving, keep giving, keep loving, and go all the way and think that we are still close with God, while we have already forsaken our intimacy with God with activity. So Mary recognized that Jesus himself is the better portion, not our performance, not our perfection, not by proving ourselves useful. Jesus Christ is the best portion available. And that is why Jesus is asking us to have intimacy with God himself first before we move. And that is why our daily devotion, the time that we spend with God, is very, very important. Now, I want to assure you that Martha loves Jesus, just as you love Jesus. And how do we know that Martha loves Jesus? Because she showed hospitality, as we have read in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Martha opened her home to him. All right? It is a Jewish culture where you open up to a person, it means that you are showing love and hospitality to that person. And also in John chapter 11, verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, the siblings. Right? And if you notice, Martha was the one who proclaimed that, you know, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. This is the same Martha who is burning up. So brothers and sisters, you love God. We know. Don't ever doubt that you don't love God. Don't let anybody say that because you don't serve God, you don't love God. Let me say it again. Don't let anybody say that you don't love God because you don't serve God. All right? Your condition is important. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you just as you are, at what condition you are in. He does not only love the peaceful Christians, he loves the emotionally composed Christian, believers who always seem spiritually calm, the overwhelming ones, the anxious one, the mentally exhausted one, the believers who are barely holding themselves together. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Don't let our anxiety pull us away from the very person we are serving. If you are serving, and you have been serving tirelessly, if you need a break, talk to your leaders. We will give you a break, don't worry. Because intimacy comes before activity. Now, for those brothers and sisters who are steady, we call it steady, it's because they found their source in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why they can keep giving. Because our source is never ending. It is only when we tap into that source, it is only when we focus upon that source that we can give forever. When we detach ourselves from the source of strength, the power of the Holy Spirit, we will never last long. Jesus said that there's one thing necessary: presence with God before productivity, communion with God before chaos, Christ before everything else. If you need a break, and we do have leaders who come to us asking for break, yes, they are taking a break because that is healthy. If you need a break, take a break. If you haven't started serving, start serving. If you are ongoing serving, we thank God because you have drawn yourself to the source of this service, which is Christ Jesus himself. So for some of us, Jesus' invitation to us today is that, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. So for some of us, we may need rest. And not only on Sunday. We need to draw near to God every single day of our life. To draw new strength from him every day. And we see as we end, as we serve God, as we are called to become Christians in this world, suffering will definitely come as we shine in darkness. Now, Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 10. Let me read to you. We have these treasures of jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. That is why we need to channel our strength from God. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Suffering will come. The challenge is to identify where is our source of strength. Because to some of us, the source of strength is ourselves. And rest assured that one day you will burn out. Because the strength that we draw in is never from Jesus Christ. For those who have yet to serve, get yourself ready spiritually, emotionally. Make sure you are tapped into the power of God as you spend time with Him daily. And we are invited to join Paul in suffering, to endure hardship as we serve, because we are good soldiers of Christ Jesus. And we please God. And we please God as we serve God by serving the church. Now, to those who are serving, but at the same time are drifting away from God due to our circumstances, Jesus is reminding us today that as we put Christ before everything else, we will experience God's presence and communion before productivity and chaos. Our daily life is not one that is smooth sailing. Challenges will come daily. But as we are connected to God daily, God is faithful and He will provide the strength necessary for us to serve. So the cost of service, it is our time. It is this invitation that we are called to suffer together so that ultimately the light will be shined in this world. Are you willing to count your cost and yet be faithful in serving? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many brothers and sisters who are serving faithfully throughout their Christian journey. We want to thank you, and we want to acknowledge that truly you are the one who has sustained them with strength, sustained them with power, so that they can continue to serve you and serve the church all this time. All glory to you, Lord. And for the many of us, Lord, I believe that somehow we are struggling, we are torn in between, we are torn in our inside, Lord. Because of our daily commitments, because of our daily consequences and struggles, Lord, we ask that you will give us rest and help us to come back to you. Help us to be channeled to you once again. That as we draw strength from you, Lord, and put first and foremost our intimacy with you as our priority, then strength, power will flow through you into our life so that we can serve you with the power of the Holy Spirit that is in us. So Lord, help us to take rest for those who require rest. Help us to draw strength for you if we have forgotten that our source of strength is in you. And Lord, we know that suffering will come because we are called to be your children. And that, Lord, we will go against the nature of the world. Help us to continue to shine in the workplace, in our school, in our relationship with one another, so that your light will shine through us to the darkness in this world. And Lord, we know that there will be persecution coming. And Lord, we pray that we are willing to pay the price so that we can continue to shine for you, to serve you by serving your church. Lord, we pray for KLBC, there's a capacity. As the church, Lord, you have called us here. You have given us a purpose to educate our next generation and to equip ourselves so that as we leave the church building, we can continue to shine for you every day for the rest of the week. We thank you for listening to our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.